Thank you, Kenny and Crystal. I don't think I've heard that last song. I like it. Thank you for sharing that. That was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, mighty is the cross. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day, mothers. It's a good day. Started out with snow. I was sitting there reading this morning, and I looked up, and Georgie said, "Look, it's snowing." And it was. Very pretty. Didn't last, thank you, Jesus. But pretty nonetheless. And guys, you really outdid it with that breakfast. Thank you for doing that. Ladies, hope you felt special, because we guys really think you are. Amen, guys?
Amen.
Good. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today for all that you mean to us. And certainly, as we've just sung, mighty is the cross. We thank you, Jesus, for taking upon yourself all of our sins and iniquities when you died on the cross for us. And we thank you that the cross wasn't the end, but that the third day you rose again from the grave, authenticating everything you said, every promise you made. And we exclaim with the ancients of old, hallelujah, what a Savior. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, our Father, for all that you mean to us, individually, as families, as a church. We pray for your continued blessing. I ask, Father, that you'd take the time left before us as we look into your word to use it in our lives for your glory. I ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen. You can never underestimate the power of a mother's influence. See if any of these ring true with you. My mother taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead. If you don't pass your spelling, you'll never get a good job. My mother taught me ESP. Put your sweater on. Don't you think I know when you're cold? My mother taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. Don't talk back to me. My mother taught me humor. When that lawnmower cuts off all your toes, don't come running to me. Some other of you guys had your mom say that, huh? My mother taught me how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. My mother taught me genetics. You are just like your father. My mother taught me the wisdom of the age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. My mother taught me anticipation. Just wait until your father gets home. I hated that one. My mother taught me about receiving. You are going to get it when we get home. My mother taught me about justice. One day you will have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's all about. Mothers, you can never underestimate a mother's influence. Several years ago, the University of Michigan conducted a nationwide survey. 80% of the 11 to 16-year-old girls surveyed wanted to become just like their mothers. Napoleon said, "The future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother." Theodore Roosevelt said, "Mothers are more important than successful statesmen, businessmen, artists, or scientists." President Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Mothers are indeed special, and they're special in God's eyes. God has divinely created woman with the unique capacity not just to bear children, but to instill in them a knowledge and love for God. Mother's Day. Anne M. Jarvis first suggested the national observance of an annual day honoring all mothers because she had loved her mother dearly. At a memorial service for her mother on May 10, 1908, Miss Jarvis gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to each person who attended. Within the next few years, the idea of honoring mothers gained popularity, and Mother's Day was observed in a number of the larger cities of the United States. On May 9, 1914, by act of Congress, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Monday in May as Mother's Day. He established the day as a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. By then, it had become customary to wear a white carnation to honor departed mothers and red to honor the living, a custom that continues many places even to this day. Mothers are especially special. Today, I'd like for us to take a brief look at the life of Timothy and the influence that his mother and grandmother had on his life. We begin in Acts chapter 16, where we see the beginning of a mother's influence. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish believer, but whose father was a Greek. So who was Timothy? Timothy was the son of a mixed marriage between a Jewess and a Greek. His mother was a Christ follower. His father, from all indications, probably was not. Timothy was one of Paul's constant companions. He was a zealous co-worker in the cause of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22, say this, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may also be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ." May I interject? That's still a problem today, even within the church. Everyone seems to be vulnerable to that whispering attack of the enemy of our souls. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. In all things, Timothy's life was characterized by faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we ask, what brought Timothy to this place of prominence in Christian service? And the answer seems to be indicated in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, where it tells about the uniqueness of the blessing of a godly grandma and mom. "I'm reminded of your sincere faith," Paul writes, "which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy's grandmother and mother were the spiritual influences in his life that guided him into becoming the man of God that he became. They established a spiritual foundation, and they lived and taught Timothy to live for God. Timothy's grandma and mom taught him truths that could not be undone by adversity. Remember, Timothy was the son of a mixed marriage. Adversity was a reality when he was growing up. The faith instilled in Timothy was something his peers could not destroy. It was November when we were shopping, Georgie and I, and we were at the Christian bookstore in Salem. I'm overlooking in the pastoral section and just kind of indulging. Georgie, on the other hand, was zippity-doo-dying back to the devotional section, looking for a devotional book for the grandkids. She found one that she felt might work for our granddaughter Bella, who was here visiting not too long ago. And so she brought it to me and said, "I want to get this for Bella." Honestly, my thought was, good, it's not expensive, we'll get it. I hope she reads it. I mean, she's a sweet girl, but a devotional book? We got it. We gave it to her, mostly from Nana. I get texts on my phone regularly, sometimes every day of the week. They go like this. This is only the last one. Not the best one, incidentally, but it's the last one. She writes to me, "Today's lesson was about when you live in Jesus' name, you are just the happiest you could ever be, and how we are called to fulfill his mission by his power. Today, we are supposed to think about a mission we had that we could only have done with the strength of God." I write back to her every time and tell her how happy I am for her walk with Jesus. The thing that I wanted to point out is that this devotional book did not just teach about God or tell Bible stories about Jesus and the Old Testament heroes. They take it one step further and say, based on this, this is how you should live. You know, my friends, as I travel around, Georgie and I do, doing what we're doing now, and we've done this for 14 years. Over the life of my ministry, I have found that many Christians are only existing. They aren't experiencing what Jesus died and rose again that they might have. In John 10:10, Jesus says, "The thief, the robber of our souls, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," Jesus said, "in order that you might have life and have it abundantly." A full, rich, abundant life is what God wants every one of us to experience. And so often we settle for second best. That's sad to me. Lois and Eunice inspired in Timothy a functioning faith. It worked. It lived out through Timothy. Grandma and Mom taught and showed Timothy how to live as a follower of Jesus. Timothy learned the attitudes and actions of his mom and grandma and how to live out his personal faith in Jesus. When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, "Well, I guess he knocked the props out of Christianity, didn't he?" The other one said, "Well, I don't think so. Ingersoll, he went on to say, did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand by my mother's God. What did they do? Grandma and Mom, how did they do it? And can we do it even today? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we see some principles on building biblical behavior. Paul writes, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." If you've never come to that point of accepting Jesus, I trust you will, because it's only through a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we become part of the family of God and experience the blessings of God. Mom and Grandma taught the Scriptures to Timothy from the time he was born. You know, you can't begin too early to teach your children and grandchildren the Bible. You can't begin too early to establish a biblical behavior pattern. I used to say to our kids as they were growing up, if you don't learn to obey Mom and Dad, you'll never learn to obey God. And if you don't learn to obey God, you're going to end up taking second best in life. And I love you too much to let that happen. Usually that was followed by, "How many, Dad? How many?" Learning the Scriptures, friends, gives a standard to live by. Learning the Bible gives examples, both good and bad, of behavioral patterns. Learning what God says about life will save a child from the many potholes in life. Our second child, Timothy, was in high school, and he came to me one day and he said, "Dad, I don't have much of a testimony." What he was referring to is some of his friends in the youth group had given their life to Jesus and were testifying how God had changed their lives from wrong behavioral patterns to a new life in Christ. And he's saying, "Dad, I don't have much of a testimony. I accepted Jesus with you and Mom when I was 8. And I said, "Son, the value and the blessings of what you did save you from the many potholes of life that others have gone through on their way to accepting Jesus." And instead of not having a testimony, celebrate the fact that you have a unique testimony of faith in Jesus. He still does that. Remember, it's through the Scriptures that we learn faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God." Many scholars have concluded you cannot really understand John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, unless you understand his mom, Susanna Wesley. She was so instrumental in his life that she inevitably affected the movement and its direction. Americans know that Abraham Lincoln led this nation through one of its greatest crises. But who was it that made Abraham Lincoln the man that he was? I know what Lincoln thought. He said it was his mother. You know, having an influence for God on the lives of others is not limited to moms. Hear me, guys. It's not limited to moms. Teaching Scriptures to the children is not limited to mothers or family members. Thank God for faithful Sunday school teachers who pray and prepare in order to teach the Bible to children. Thank God for Christian camps and vacation Bible schools where kids learn about Jesus and accept his love and forgiveness. As that comes about here, don't hesitate to volunteer and become part of that which is happening. Thank God for youth workers who love kids and teach them the Bible. But on this special day that we call Mother's Day, we just want to stay focused and say thank you, Mom. If your mom is still living, be sure and give her a call today, will you? Give her a call and tell her thanks. Even if your mom's influence was not the best, God, hear me, God did not make a mistake in giving you to her and her to you. Call her. Tell her that you love her. If your mom has passed on, thank God for the ways that God used your mom, yea, even your grandma, to develop you into the person that you've become. And to you grandmas and moms, may this day be filled with the honor and love that you so richly deserve. God bless you all. Let's pray together. We thank you, our Father, for the ways in which you have worked in our lives, through our moms and our grandmothers, through faithful Sunday school teachers and youth workers, through vacation Bible school and Christian camps, through the witness of your faithful servants, we give you thanks. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would continue to bless in abundance the influence that moms, grandmothers, faithful Christian servants have on the lives of children. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.